In the name of the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. Amen. For Anglicans, the church's year has some real significance. That's not true for all Western Christians. It's true, I think, for all Eastern Christians, whether they belong to the Russian Orthodox Church, the Greek Orthodox Church, or the Coptic Church, or the Armenian Church, or whatever. And it's true for Roman Catholics, and it's true for Lutherans. But it's not true, for example, for Presbyterians or Baptists. There's a wonderful story about the early days of Dunedin, when the first minister of First Church, Dr. Thomas Burns, realised that it was Christmas Day. And he also knew, so the story goes, that the Anglican Bishop of Dunedin would be going past in his carriage on the way to conduct morning service in St. Paul's Cathedral. So the Reverend Minister rushed out into his garden and started digging in it so that when the Bishop came by, he would be duly shocked by this refusal to observe the Feast of Our Lord's Nativity. Well, whether it's true or not, I can certainly remember that I wasn't allowed to play with the Presbyterian minister's children in Roslyn when Sunday came along, because Sunday was the Sabbath. And the Sabbath was kept with a great solemnity. Now, that's true, I think, of some Anglicans as well, but it was virtually the only thing that was kept as a great day, as it were, in some churches. Every Sunday was the Sabbath, which is a bit weird because it isn't. Saturday is the Sabbath, as it happens. And that was all. But the Anglican Church has always stuck to the traditional church's year. And in fact, the Christian observances have, although they've declined in recent years, still have some kind of hold on the imagination of our society. Formerly, they had a much greater hold. At least until the middle of the 17th century, and perhaps later, New Year's Day was not the 1st of January. New Year's Day was the Feast of the Annunciation, the 25th of March, because that was the day when the angel, as it were, appeared to the Virgin Mary and the process of our redemption began. And as it was the beginning of our redemption, it ought to be the beginning of the year. So if you'd asked Charles I on his way to the scaffold on the 30th of January what year it was, he'd have said it was 1648. We think it's 1649. But he would have said it wouldn't become 1649 until the 25th of March. He would have also asked you to go away because he had more important things on his mind, while he still had a mind in his head, while he still had one of those as well, than thinking about the date. But the more traditional churches have found the church's year a very important and vital part of their Christian life. Now, it began simply with the observance of Sunday. Sunday became the Lord's Day in replacement of the Sabbath on Saturday. It didn't have the rules and regulations that went with the Sabbath. It didn't, for example, have the idea that you couldn't do anything at all, in the way that Orthodox Jews still have the idea that you can't turn on your oven or anything like that on the Sabbath. It didn't have those kind of connotations at all. It was later given them by certain people, but not originally. And then they decided to observe one particular Sunday of the year as Easter Sunday. And once they'd done that, things started to sort of fall into place, if you like. Easter Sunday was the day on which you got baptized, if possible. Because at this time, we're talking about the days of the early church, we're talking about adult baptism. And you would be prepared for baptism. And your baptism would take place on Easter Eve at the hands of the bishop in his cathedral. And you would have a period of preparation for that. And that period of preparation would last, well, it actually lasted for an awfully long time, but eventually it ended up as 6 weeks. And of course the 6 weeks turn into Lent. Because people love to make things symbolic. You know, they like to give it a bit of extra meaning. So we have Lent. And then we notice that we've got another great feast day too. And that other great feast day is the Nativity of Christ, and which is now fixed on the day in which the Roman Empire used to worship the sun, so I believe I've got that right. And what the church did very often was to take over. They knew that this day was going to be celebrated anyway by everybody, so let's Christianize it. So that's what they did. They took it over. Jesus is the true sun, as it were, both S-U-N and S-O-N. And so let's make the feast of the sun into the feast of his birth. And that they did, at least most of them did. There's something about the Epiphany being that, and I think it still is in the Armenian Church, that the 6th of January is still the Christmas Day. I'm not quite sure anyway. Moving rapidly on. So we have Christmas. Well, now we've got Christmas. Well, we'd better sort of give it a bit of a period of preparation too. And so we've got Advent as well. So now we've got the two major feasts, and they've got, each got a period of preparation, as it were. Easter gets further development in that the last 2 weeks of Lent become Passiontide. Passion here means to suffer, passio, to suffer. And the last week of Passiontide, the second week, becomes Holy Week, which begins with Palm Sunday, in which we recreate or remember the entry into Jerusalem. And then there's Maundy Thursday, the Last Supper, and Good Friday, the Crucifixion, and Easter Eve. And those last 3 days are the Triduum Sacrum, the three great sacred days of the Church's year. And after that, we have a week of weeks. A week of weeks is a very sort of Jewish festival. That's 49, so I believe. I was told at Arthur Street Primary School by Mr. Christensen, who was the headmaster at the time, that if I wasn't able to do mathematics, I would never amount to anything. And the fact is that I wasn't able to do mathematics, and I haven't. So I suppose he's right in that regard. However, that's succeeded by Pentecost, which is Whit Sunday, which is Pentecost in Greek means sort of the 50th day, which I believe follows the 49th, if you can count, which I can't really. And after that we have Trinity Sunday, and then just the ordinary season of the year, where nothing happens, as it were. While after Christmas we have, we'll eventually have the Feast of the Epiphany and so on, until we arrive at Ash Wednesday. And Ash Wednesday begins Lent, and so on. So we've got about two-thirds of the ordinary secular year are taken up with the Church's year. And this is, the purpose of the Church's year is to enter into the life of Christ. That's part of it, it's not all of it. Because Advent, for example, is about, a lot of it is not about the life of Christ as it has been lived. It's actually about the life of Christ as it will be lived, as it were. Because most of Advent is not about the first coming of Christ, but about the second coming of Christ. That's why we get some rather, you know, there are often some rather fierce lessons, as for example the gospel lesson which you just heard this morning talks about, you know, the Lord will come, so you better watch out and, you know, get ready for this. But the point about this is, I often think is well put, as it were, by the liturgy of the Eastern Orthodox Church. Because their services, like ours, are geared towards these days and these seasons. And the prayers talk about today. They say, on Christmas Day, they'll say, today the Lord Jesus Christ has been born. Not 2,000 years ago, but today. And on Easter Day, today he has risen from the dead. And on Pentecost, today the Holy Spirit has descended upon the people. And that's got to be true. That's got to be true. For a number of reasons. One is this, that for the Lord Jesus Christ, these are always part of who he is. These are part of his experience. His experience on this earth remains his experience in heaven and throughout the universe, as it were. And we are part of his body. So in a sense, it's part of his experience is part of our experience as well. And together with that is the fact that we do have these experiences. We are ourselves crucified by life in many ways. We are called upon to rise from our own sort of internal deaths, as it were. There's a whole lot of ways in which the Church's year is extraordinarily relevant to our ordinary life. But most of all, it helps to attach, if you like, our ordinary life to our inner depths, to our inner experience of God, to our inner experience of Christ and his life amongst us. We are to live, as it were, with Christ and in Christ. And so the Church's year, far from being just sort of a kind of nice decoration, is something which is a very important part of our Christian experience. And that's why the Church has treasured it in East and West for something like 2,000 years, as it's grown and developed to what it is today. It's a means of entering into the life of Christ, not just as it was, but as it is now, and as it shall be forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.